T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ. You're the silent type, and you caught my eye,
but I never thought that I'd be touching you. How was I to know and let my feelings go, and that I'd be yours before the night was through? Hey! Brian Adams is your artist of the day on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s.
A couple of quick set updates. We just spoke to Dan out in the newsroom. Our reporting partners are naming the gunman this morning in KCK, and there are a couple of updates for those of you saying, why aren't you talking about it? There's not a lot to say at this point other than our reporting partners are identifying the gunman as a Charles Roy Pearson out of Overland Park.
Okay.
They've linked him not only in photographs but also court records and the Maserati auto information that he was apparently driving when this all went down this morning.
So he was obviously a man of some means. You don't drive a Maserati unless you got money.
I don't know what he did for a living. He has a previous charge of criminal damage.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, his wife was reported missing Monday morning, and we now know police are looking at what we believe to be her property, and I think Overland Park. They have it cordoned off, and they just say it's part of the investigation into her disappearance. And so, I think a lot of people are worried about her safety and should be worried about her safety just because of what went down at the Legends this morning.
Mm. Story here from CBS out of Chicago. A lawsuit has been filed against the Chicago Transit Authority and its former security company on behalf of a woman who was struck and killed after dropping her cell phone on the tracks.
Oh.
Do you understand me? So she's drops her phone onto the tracks, goes to retrieve said cell phone that she dropped, is struck by a CTA, Chicago Transit Authority train, and her family is suing the Chicago Transit Authority. All right? Attorneys have filed the suit on behalf of the estate of 37-year-old Felon Smith, who was killed on...
What was her name?
Felon Smith.
Oh.
Her name was Felon.
Spelled how?
F-E-L-O-N.
Oh.
Okay.
37-year-old Felon Smith.
Feel like her parents may have dropped the ball there.
Who was...
I thought you were still describing her.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Who was killed on June 27th. She was on the 69th Street Red Line platform when she went down...
Why would you name your kid Felon? I'm sorry to take a hard left turn here. Why would you do that?
Because you're an idiot.
Every time you make a restaurant reservation, Felon, party of two.
When you're 37.
Why would you do that?
Well, let me ask you another question. When you're 37 years old, why wouldn't you legally change your name?
I guess we don't know for sure that she didn't do that to herself, but.
Fair point.
Okay, so wait. She drops her cell phone on the subway,
on
the ones that go down.
Chicago doesn't have a subway.
The L. Oh, this was on the L.
But yeah. On the train tracks.
On the train tracks.
Okay.
She dropped her phone onto the tracks. Okay. Well, there's still a platform, even though you're not in a subway.
But a little platform.
Well, but, yeah, true. But she apparently dropped her phone onto the tracks, okay, off of the platform, went to retrieve her cell phone, and was struck by a train. you apparently got lost on the fact that her name is Felon.
I did, but I'm refocused now. So the thing with the subway that always scares me to death is that I feel like if you fall down there, number one, you'll be electrocuted, and number two, it's very hard to get back up because it's down there. You know, if you fall down there, you're
sure.
down there.
Sure.
At least in Chicago on the L, number one, I don't understand how you don't see the train coming, and number two, as memory serves, and it's been a couple of years since I've been to Chicago, there's not some 8-foot drop to get down there. It's just, there might be a little ledge, mm-hmm. but it's right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to know, was she named after her dad?
And so they're suing, they could be a lovely family, but for the life of me, I don't know why you would name somebody that. They are suing the train, the L people?
They're suing the Chicago Transit Authority, arguing that there was a guard who was also on the platform that didn't do enough to rescue her after she went to retrieve her phone.
So I looked this up. She is not the first by far to be killed by a train while people are trying to retrieve their cell phone. There's like a lot of these, Scott.
Somebody is saying that Chicago does actually have underground subways. I was unaware of that. I was only aware of the L, which is above ground, I believe. That being said, I don't know if she was in the subway system of Chicago, which I was unaware that they had, or the above ground L. Again, we're getting sidetracked here. She went to retrieve her phone that she dropped on the tracks and was hit by a train, okay?
I don't think there is any fault anywhere to be had in this story except
hers.
So in 2014, this happened in Brooklyn. A man jumped onto the subway tracks to retrieve his phone. The train operator spotted him but could not stop the train in time. He was crushed between the platform and the train. There was a man in New York a couple years ago, also went down trying to pick up the phone, was electrocuted by the rail, and died. There have been a string of these. And I don't know if there were lawsuits involved in those, but this is not the first time this has happened.
You're an...
Like, I love my cell phone. But there's a reason we have the cloud. Like, everything in your physical phone is in the cloud. So if something happens to your phone, even if you think, I can just run real quick and grab it, why would you put your life in danger for your phone?
There is no reason.
There's no reason at all. No. All of the data on there is in the cloud. You just go into the cloud. You get a new phone. You plug the new phone into your cloud. All the new stuff goes into the new phone.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Now, you may have to pay a couple $100.
That is true.
Whatever. 576-7798.
Guy in Iowa struck by four cars trying to retrieve phone from the street. In the dark, ran out into traffic to grab the phone.
576-7798. Short of a child or a significant other, I can't think of one thing I would go down into the tracks to retrieve.
I think if you had been standing right there, you would have tried to have helped her out.
I would have tried to have helped her out.
Not going down there.
I'm not going down there. And B, what I was trying to say, and maybe I didn't say it well, unless it is my child or my significant other or my mother or my brother, I'm not going down there to get anything. If it's a phone, bye.
Doesn't that just show you what problems we have with our attachment issues with the phone?
Yes. Yes.
And I'm sorry for this family. They're looking for someone to blame here. I don't see it. I don't see where the city or the train operator or anyone else is at fault here.
No one is at fault except for Felon Smith.
Because they're saying there was a security guard right there who could have done more to help her. I wouldn't ask a security guard to risk his life to grab someone grabbing their phone either.
576-7798. That's Will Starrett, Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. But I would walk 500 miles and you know, every once in a while we get a text that kind of takes the original topic and morphs it into something I didn't expect. I don't want to blow it here because I know a lot of people want to weigh in on this woman in Chicago. Her name, by the way, is, yes, Felon Smith. Common spelling on felon.
Common spelling on Smith, too, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Yes. Smith with an I. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. However, after 4:30, I want to take it in a slightly different direction and a text that we got from a teacher on how they're addressing cell phones, which has become, I mean, cell phones are so important to people, okay, that yesterday when we were talking about that, may God bless this child always, the child in Lawrence, the two-year-old that was left in that hot car that died, people were writing in, what we need to do is when we put our kid in the back seat, we need to put our cell phone in the back seat. Because a cell phone, for whatever reason, has become so critically important to our own personal self-identity. And this teacher writes in on a new policy that they're starting this year at her middle school. And I want to move off of Felon Smith after we take a few calls on it and morph into this discussion, which I think is equally interesting. Is your name Moke or Mike?
Mike.
Mike, sorry. The I and the O are right next to each other on the keyboard, and Sam apparently hit the O instead of the I.
Go ahead, Mike.
So I was just wondering, did they say like what the time period between when she dropped her phone and the train hit her?
It's a great question.
Because I'm wondering, like, you know, if it's just a few seconds, what do they really expect this guard to do? You know, if he's even 5 feet away and she jumps down there to get her phone and is hit within seconds, there's nothing for him to do.
Correct.
Yeah, that was my take on it.
And someone just wrote in.
Okay, thanks, Moke.
I think you're both forgetting that people don't go onto the tracks thinking they're risking their lives. They go onto the tracks because they have to have their phone. They're not thinking that their life is in jeopardy. That's why it happens to other people. And we found just five searching quickly in the last couple of years where this has happened. What do you think is going to happen when you go dancing on railroad tracks or subway tracks?
You're going to die.
I assume I'm going to be electrocuted or struck by a train.
Yep.
And if you think otherwise, there's something wrong going on in your head. I'm sorry.
Let's go to Jerry in Parkville. Jerry, hello.
Good afternoon, team.
Good afternoon.
You know, I've worked for trolleys and I worked for a streetcar, but I also saw this story, and I don't know how you missed it, or maybe it didn't pop up when you Googled it. The operator was fired because they timed it, they checked the video, and he was not looking forward for 10 seconds when he hit her.
He was not looking forward. He was the driver of the train?
The operator of the street of the subway,
okay,
looking out the side window for 10 whole seconds, didn't look up for 10 seconds.
But Jerry, explain this to me. If this was the L or the subway, mm-hmm, you know how long it takes to stop a train. If he was not looking forward for 10 seconds, could he have theoretically stopped in 10 seconds? Because I don't think so.
Well, you should never look away. I mean, imagine driving your car and not looking for 10 seconds. Especially when, you know, you don't have to worry about steering. All you got to do is just look ahead. That's all you have to do.
Okay.
And also, the L tracks are electrified. So her going down there, she could have grounded herself out and just electrocuted herself right then and there. So, I mean, should she have gone down there? Absolutely not. Should the guard have done something? Sure. But I don't know how far away, you know, the subway was. Mm-hmm. But the operator was not looking ahead.
But is it bad, Jerry, dumb question, but I've never been a subway driver person. Is it bad to look away for 10 seconds? What
Absolutely.
Are you supposed to be looking for?
You're looking forward at all times. You're making sure people aren't stepping off the platform.
But my point is, if someone steps off the platform in front of you,
is 10 seconds enough time
to legitimately
stop? You
can't stop that train anyway.
No. Well, here's the thing. Was he pulling into the station and therefore slowing down at the time? I mean, you got to take that into consideration. How many cars was he pulling?
Okay.
Because that'll impact how long it takes to stop. But imagine driving your car down the highway and looking away for 10
but
seconds.
But, Jerry, I do feel like that's different because you're not on a controlled static track where the thing is just moving on autopilot, basically.
Stopping a car on a dime, which is impossible, but I think stopping a car is a
which
lot
you
easier
have to steer.
Than stopping a subway train.
I can't believe. Imagine just driving down the highway and just looking out your side window for 10 seconds.
But if you drive down the highway and you're not looking straight ahead for 10 seconds, you will wreck. If you're driving a subway and not looking for 10 seconds, if no one's on that track, what's going to happen? The train's just going to keep going, right?
Absolutely, but you are trained to look forward. You're not trained to look out the side window. And I think he was actually waving to somebody. You could find the video. I saw it online. He was distracted.
To whom was he? Was this an above ground train or a subway?
I'm not sure on that. I'm not sure if it was the L or if it was underground.
Okay.
I just saw that the CTA timed his. They pulled video on any incident.
Yeah.
And the CTA saw him, and he was not paying attention for 10 seconds.
All right, partner. Hey, good to hear your voice.
My phone dropped into the tracks in Dallas in the above ground transit train thing a few years ago. Guess what I did? I basically shrugged, said it's gone forever, and did a remote wipe on it. There is no place like that I would risk my life to retrieve a phone. I don't even know that I would go into the toilet to get my phone. I'm going to be honest. At that point, it's ruined anyway.
Yeah. And what's in there? Pee or poop?
It would depend.
Would you retrieve a phone in pee but not poop?
Probably.
Are we talking about your own toilet or a public one?
Oh, my own toilet, I would retrieve it because I have a grabber thing that my mom got me, like one of those as seen on TV grabber things.
Mm-hmm.
A public toilet, no way. I would probably stand there a second and think about it. Like, oh, did that just happen?
So we got an email, or a text, from someone who says, I'll paraphrase here because I don't want to go back and have to find it. So let's move on to a different cell phone-esque or ish topic. She says, I'm a middle school teacher starting with this school year. And as you know, a lot of schools are starting back up this week. All of our students must put their cell phones in their lockers. No exceptions. You immediately, when I told you this off the air,
mm-mm.
shook your head and said no.
Mm-mm.
Why?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Why?
Why can't they have an incredibly strict no use policy, which I agree with?
Because they would put it between their legs.
That's violating the strict no use policy.
Yeah, but the teacher, the only way the teacher would be able to find out and stop said illegal, or not illegal, but unallowed behavior, is to walk around the room nonstop.
And then to prove that they were actually using it, they'd have to take the phone and go through it.
Kids, give me your password.
Kids in school have the phone basket. The teacher puts the phone basket up front at the beginning of class. The phones go in the basket. You can retrieve them when you leave. I don't like the idea of just you cannot have it all day, period, because of the things that we have seen in our schools. And my God, I'm reading the Columbine book right now. We're going to bar the kids' access to call home if something happens. If anything happens.
It puts the cell phone in the basket.
Or?
It gets the hose again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
That's where I was going with it.
Well, I don't understand why a student needs their cell phone in class so they can call 911 if there's an emergency?
No, I think the phone needs to be in their pocket. I don't think it should be out. But
why does a student need a cell phone in class?
Well, first of all, they use them for research. I mean, for school stuff. You know, probably in some classes more than others, but the classes where the phones are not needed, it's my understanding they go in a basket at the beginning of class.
I don't know. I kind of had two extremes on this because I went to a different high school my freshman year than I did for the rest of my high school tenure. And my freshman year, if you even had your cell phone out in the hallway, they would take it from you and you would get detention. And then I transferred to a public school and I used my phone nonstop in class. And I guarantee you it was not for class-related things, playing games, texting people.
Yeah, and I don't think you should be able to do that. but I'm not completely comfortable with just taking away a communication device.
I'm totally fine with it. You threw out the idea, Dana, of putting it in a basket. What's the difference between putting it in a basket when you walk into class?
Access.
Access to do what?
They would have access to it if they needed it.
For what?
I can think of any number of very scary scenarios where they would need it.
I can't think of one.
Well, then you don't read the same newspapers I do.
What scary scenario would a child need?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you even kidding me right now?
No, not at all.
Do you know how many times my kids were in lockdown in the last couple of years?
And you calling them is going to help in what way?
I cannot believe you are...
I mean, if the argument is we need somebody who is capable or able to dial 911... If there is, God forbid, an active shooter inside the school, I can only imagine there are 30 or 40 other adults who will be dialing 911. The last thing I want my kid doing...
The only communication during Parkland that was coming out of that school where that officer, I will remind you, and I know he is in the minority, but where that officer hung around outside and did not go in and do anything to save those kids.
Agreed.
The only communication and calls for help they were getting were because kids had their phones.
I would imagine there are going to be plenty of people dialing 911 if there's an active shooter in a school. And
not if all those phones are in their lockers.
Well, here's what I guarantee you I want. If there's an active shooter in my school, the last thing I want my 14-year-old daughter doing is dialing 911. What I want her to do is get her ass down and covered so that she doesn't become a victim.
And to stay silent so that they can't hear you and know where you are. That's one thing that they teach you during lockdowns.
The last thing I want my kid doing is dialing 911. I want her protecting herself.
Do you want to sit around for hours on end after an incident like that in order to know that she's okay?
No, but
or to get a text, say, 5 minutes later?
That's fine. And, Will, I understand your point, and I think your point is the same as Dana's, and it is well-founded. I'm not trying to be a jerk with you guys at all. What I'm saying is, once the situation has been alleviated, okay, the children should be allowed to go to their lockers, get their phones, and text their parents. But until or unless, the last thing I want my kid doing is going, yeah, oh my God, 911, hi, yeah, it's Maya Parks, oh my God. The last thing
I
want her doing is that.
You wouldn't be so flippant about this if your kids haven't been locked down.
Oh, I'm not saying they haven't been locked down. My children have been in a school lockdown.
Someone just
while
wrote
we
in,
were on the air.
They cannot enforce a no-use policy. You either take it or they have full access to it. It's too much entertainment. Why can you not, and I'm just asking, why can you not enforce a no-use policy? I mean, I think
you crack down
hard on the first couple days of school, and you tell them no use in class means no use in class.
Now, granted, this was in a pre-smartphone era, but when I was in high school, everybody had a cell phone, and we had a no-use policy, and the way that it was dealt with was pretty simple. If you are caught using the phone, mm-hmm. You do not get it back for 1 week.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
But that's your property. They can't take it from you.
Well, it's actually their parents' property.
You can take anything. You can take their property away from them.
All I know is it was enough to scare a lot of people out of using their phone.
You don't have the same rights in a public school that you would have in public. This is one of the rare exceptions where the government can do things that you don't like.
Like search your bag.
They can search your bag. They can search your locker because mm-hmm. that's government property. You're not allowed to, you don't have unfettered free speech rights in a public school. You don't have unfettered freedom of religion rights in school. You don't get to bust out in prayer in the middle of Mr. Smith's civics lesson.
But what does it hurt to allow them to have a phone during recess or lunch or in between passing periods? I think you crack down hard at the beginning of the year in the classroom. No phones.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Because you and I clearly do not see eye to eye. Will and I do not see eye to eye on this topic. Because this is the week most kids return to school, and I know we have a lot of public school teachers that listen to this show, let's turn it over to them. If you teach public school, We don't need to know what district you're in. I don't even care if you don't want to identify what city you're in. Are cell phones in the classroom a help or are they a hindrance?
Well, all teachers are going to say they're a hindrance. I guess my question is...
Well, not if they use them. You said that students use their
cell
phones.
Why can we not go about this another way? And that would be a very restrictive, no exceptions, no use policy.
Here's the problem, Dana. Now, your cell phone and my cell phone look different, okay?
Okay.
All right. My cell phone and Kelly's cell phone are exactly the same with the exact same OtterBox protector. So you have 30 phones in a basket. Five of them look the same. What happens when Tommy takes Susie's phone?
He can't open it because they're all fingerprint password protected. In fact, my oldest son now has facial recognition. He puts it up to his face, phone turns on. My kids all have nicer phones than I do.
Okay.
I don't think that's a big deal.
All right. 576-7798. Let's go to Virginia in Blue Springs. Virginia, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
There.
I just wanted to say that my kids all have cell phones, but at school, they have MacBooks, and they get to take those everywhere with them.
Oh, okay.
They can do the same thing on their MacBook as they can on their phone, as far as texting, emailing, whatever. My kids all know that if something happens at school, send me a text that just says the word help, and I'll be on it, like, big time. So if they do take their phone, there is a way they can text you and email you and even record what's going on in the classroom. So I don't worry as much if they take their phone. And I tell them, if they break the rules, sorry, your phone's gone. You knew the rules.
Good. And Virginia, you're breaking up there, but thank you for the call. Teacher just texted in, I am a high school teacher. Our policy is first time it's taken, though you get it back from the principal at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. The second time, the parents have to come in and pick up the phone. And then it says the third time, 3-day suspension.
576-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie, Will Sterrett. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Blondie, real name Debbie Harry, on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Amy and Lee Summit. Amy, hello.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I am a high school teacher in Lee Summit. I also have a daughter who is a high school student. So I get the mom thing about wanting to be protective of your kids. But here's the deal. And then I've got a couple of things. First of all, I'll talk about the training teachers go through, and then I'll talk about my own cell phone policy. Teachers go through intensive training on what to do in active shooter. And one of the first things is those cell phones need to go off, not just silent, but off, so that all of the emergency professionals don't have restricted cell phone access, if that makes any sense. We don't want to interfere with their ability to communicate, number one. Number two, I have a landline in my room that I can call 911 for. I don't need 30 kids or 20 kids on their phones doing 911. And Scott is exactly right that the last thing I want is not just people on their phones making noise, but the light from the phones coming from under the door attracting attention to where we are.
Hey, Amy.
Yeah.
Someone also texted in about the landline in the room, and do most teachers have that? I had no idea that we still have landlines in schools. I did not know that.
I didn't either.
I know, yeah, I know in the two districts, the district I work in and the district my kids are in, the teachers all have landlines in their rooms.
Cool. And is that because of this exact thing we're talking about? Be honest.
Well, honestly, they're just left over from back in the day, and they just have left them.
And let me guess, the kids all look at them and go, what is that?
But here's the other thing is a reason to keep them in the room other than disaster is if they want to call into my room and tell me something without it being over the speaker, they will dial my phone. Now, you can't dial into my phone as a parent, but the front office can't.
Okay.
And so So if they've cut, like if they're sending a principal down to get a kid for a reason, I need to be aware of it. They'll call me instead of announcing over the loudspeaker, and it's a they can have that private conversation with me.
All right. Hey, Amy, do appreciate the call, and good luck with the new school year.
All right, thanks.
All right, you take care. Nathan in South Kansas City. Nathan, hello. Nathan, hello. Dustin in Lee Summit. Dustin, hello.
Hi, Dustin. Go ahead.
Ooh,
and
Dustin.
And we can hear you right now.
Hang on. We'll come back to you in a second.
How many times do we have to go over this?
Come back to him in 8 seconds.
No, wait.
Dustin, turn your radio down, please.
We don't even need to do that because there's a meme going around that I want to share with my teachers because I know we have a lot of teachers listening. This has made some people mad, and it has made some people laugh out loud. I'm just going to read it, okay? 10 easy ways to know you do not belong in the school pickup or drop-off line.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you have to get out of your car. If you need to park or open your door for any reason, go park. Your snowflake needs help with seatbelt, jacket, backpack, shoes. Or your goodbye ritual includes multiple hugs, kisses, tears, secret handshakes. No, go park. Your tiny prince must get out directly in front of the school doors. If you don't pull forward as far as you can and totally disrupt the entire flow, making the line run 100 times slower because your prince or princess cannot walk 10 extra steps, go park. If my four kids can unload faster than your one, you aren't doing it right. If you have to sit in your car and watch until your little darling gets all the way to the doors, seriously, there are teachers and staff there for a reason. Need to visit with the teacher helping with drop-offs? Shoot the breeze with the other PTA moms? Go park!
Wow. There's a theme here.
Do you impede the flow of the line more than very briefly, more than once a week? Go park.
Okay. Dustin, let's try you again, my friend. Did you turn your radio down?
Hi, Dustin.
I actually had you playing through the radio, so I apologize.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I'm a teacher, and you mentioned earlier about the how don't we just do a 100% don't use policy.
Sure.
The problem is I'm right in middle school, and it's hard to get adults to not do something they tell you. And I'm going to give you a proposition, Dana, and then when you answer me, I want Scott to tell me his answer.
Okay.
If newer boss came down here and said, Dana, look, you've been shopping a lot on Amazon. I need you to cut that out, shop on Amazon during the show. Even when Scott and them start talking about Star Wars.
Okay.
That might last for a little bit, but do you think you're going to slowly creep back into doing that?
I would probably creep back in as their conversation crept over there.
Okay, well, Scott, I think you're going to say the same thing she did. So now
I don't even think she would need to creep back in. I think she would just stay in.
But and that's the point is it's all about just taking that 100% out. And where I teach, and I don't want to say it just in case I'm not supposed
to
or something, but when you get to school, you can have them in the mornings and everything. But before, when that first hour, when that bell rings to go to class, before that tardy bell rings, that phone is in your locker. And if you get caught with it, just like a previous caller said, you get one chance, it goes to the office. That's kind of like your warning. You get it back at the end of the day. The next time, the parent has to get it, and it just increases up after that.
Okay.
And going back to what you said about landlines, my school also has landlines in each room, and it's kind of like an office-type style landline phone that connects through the Internet. And I know the last caller said parents cannot call her directly. Ours can. We actually have an extension that you can call and then type in our extension. You can go straight to our classroom.
Wait.
That makes me feel better.
Real quick, because we got to get to the news. When would you answer a call from a parent? You're teaching.
Now, but during the day, I also have plan time when I'm in my room, and they know when my plan times are.
Plan time is my time. Leave me alone, parents.
And if you're holding up the carpool line...
Park. No.
I'm so glad I don't have to do that anymore.
You know, the one thing I'm going to be glad about when school starts this week is every time I used to take Maya to middle school, and I drove her to school every day, I somehow always pulled in behind the parent of the tuba player.
What?
Yeah.
Takes a while to dismount, does it?
Oh, yeah. My God. Get your Rugrat out of the car, for God's sakes.
Takes a minute to shoehorn that thing in and out of there.
Oh, my word. Play another instrument, kid, like clarinet.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.